Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, how good's footy?
You're back, Joel.
Welcome back, Joel.
I just want to.
I'm leaving.
There was real risk of a two-man show again this week.
No.
But I want to say that I'm actually, look, listeners, I owe you an apology because what I did last week, whilst it felt right, actually let down the show. I feel. I think that the show is called How Good's Footy, and unfortunately, at times in footy, you have to look down the barrel of a defeat. And my emotions did get the best of me, and I decided I didn't need footy that weekend. But maybe Essendon needed me.
Maybe Essendon fans needed you.
Maybe Essendon fans needed me to show them that, look, it's fucking shit, and Collingwood are cunts, and every player that's ever played for Collingwood should be set on fire and die. But I wasn't there to provide that.
That's okay. And that's okay. You're back today. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And Sean, thanks for being here so that you can do what Joel couldn't.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm not
proud of you, mate.
I'm not a coward.
No.
I front up. I also didn't lose to Collingwood
after the siren. Yep, you beat them after the siren that time.
In fact, I did. We watched that just earlier. We were watching that. Yeah, fantastic. It's good to be here.
Tom, how are you feeling? Fine?
I'm feeling pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Top of the ladder still. Yeah. Everything's going well.
We're playing real good.
Yeah.
Losing our best player in Reece Stanley didn't hurt us too badly this week, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, playing really well. Joel Selwood, 250 games, fucking beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Footy's good for me this week.
Where should we begin?
I guess, look, we'll just start Friday night. Fremantle versus Melbourne. Melbourne said, Freo, you're playing like shit recently. Fuck you. 46-point win.
Great. Next game.
Next game.
David Mundy's announced his retirement, by the way.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
Sad. Go again.
So he'll be retiring on grand final day.
Jesus. Flag mantle.
Yep.
Jesus.
They, yeah, you big. Know, so Tom, what was that thing you said where he's now worn all 32 versions of the jumper? They should have a special David Mundy version as well, I reckon.
Just all 32 stitched together?
Oh! That is... No, even better. They each player gets to choose their favorite of the 32, and they just all wear a different jumper.
Fucking chaos. To be honest, might not be a jumper clash because no one else is purple.
No. Well, no, they do have two. They have a red and white one and a blue and white one.
Fuck.
So it'd have to be against, like, Port or...
You just cop it.
You just cop it?
Out of respect for the great man.
Yeah.
One of the best men in footy.
What a great boy.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wonderful man.
Yeah. And after last week where Collingwood crushed me on Saturday afternoon.
They crushed my brother.
Yeah, Jacob was talking about maybe riding a train in a unique way, which was...
From the front, but not inside it.
Yeah. From the front, but underneath it.
Yeah. He went to that game and the poor boy goes so many games at the G where his team either fails to show up and gets annihilated or... just loses.
Yeah.
I think he has seen them win once or twice at the MCG, and he's been there plenty of times.
Fucking hell.
Collingwood, won 10 in a row. Some of the least convincing 10 wins I've ever seen. It is a fucking nightmare, though, because not only did they beat Essendon last week, and now they've like rocketed into top four. They're doing what Essendon did in 2019, where it was fun and exciting and scary. But we did it to get into the top eight and then fell out immediately. They've done it all the way to the top four, so no one's going to ever talk about that run of Essendon games again. This will be the last time you hear anyone ever mention it.
I think, though, it's not going to be sustainable for them.
For Collingwood?
Yeah. It's not a sustainable way to win games.
Yeah, but like now they just believe they can never lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd like to draw your attention to that time that Richmond did that, where they won all these close games, dragged their way into the top eight, and then got annihilated in the first quarter of an elimination final.
Different scenario, I think. That was Richmond had a shocking start to the season and needed to win like their last nine just to make the finals.
Which is what
they were just exhausted, whereas Collingwood are just like, ah, we're young, we're fired up, we're in the top four.
And
top three.
It's not even like they're fighting back every week. I mean, this week they just...
They're grinding
Port,
it out.
Yeah, Port came for them, and they were just like, nah, whatever.
Well coached.
It's crazy. It is generally crazy they keep winning. I just don't know if it's sustainable.
Yeah.
They just need to ask a couple more wins in finals, and they'll be fine.
Worth noting, too, all of them are a pack of cunts.
We've talked
about Collingwood too much.
Correct. In fact, moving on.
Yep.
Battle of the Bridge. More like Massacre of the Bridge.
I talked to Joel about this morning because we're on the Scaredy Boys retreat, new episodes of Scaredy Boys every Friday. We come down here, we watch a lot of horror movies. Mm-hmm. We invited Joel Dusha down to make us watch a horror movie. He's a fuckhead he's rude.
I've heard that.
Never being on the podcast again, maybe.
Ban pending.
But we're down here, we're talking this morning, and I pointed out the story of Mark McVeigh after this loss. Did you hear this?
No.
So the Giants got absolutely spanked by Sydney, who
lost by 72 points.
Yeah, Sydney are flying at the moment. But yeah, smashed them. McVeigh in the presser, clearly frustrated with how the team's going. He's an interim coach of a side that is treading water and going backwards.
GWS kicked two goals after quarter time.
Yeah, it's filth.
Pathetic.
He said...
They stand for nothing.
Basically that, Sean, he goes, I think there's a few people who've checked out for the year.
Whoa.
I think there's about 8 or 9 players who showed up. And then, Sean... He named the 8 or 9 players.
Jesus Christ. Scorched the earth. He's not going to be there next year
There's
either.
A few players he didn't name, including a certain out-of-contract mid-forward named Timothy Taranto.
A quiet game, if I'm looking at my fantasy team.
Yes. So he went full scorched earth. He said there's 8 or 9 players. These are the 8 or 9 players.
That's fucked.
Huge. He doesn't care. He knows it's not he knows it's not his job. They haven't performed well enough
to be
head coach.
Zero chance.
The Giants, they're just a bit irrelevant.
They are shit. Send them to Tassie. Seriously, what's the point?
That's fair enough.
True.
What is the point?
Battle of the boat.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
Jesus. There's the Derwent Bridge. Mm. Battle of the Bridge. Oof. There's a bridge down there.
I'd split the Giants in half. Even more so, and have one of them in Launceston, one in Hobart.
Battle of the Bridge. I know you have to cross a bridge to get from one place to the other.
The Island Showdown.
What's power in that?
Is it the Battle of the Bass Strait? Because that's the bass battle.
Battle of the Bass is good, I think.
Yeah, Battle of the Bass.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Speaking of powerful, St. Kilda's ability to shit their pants. They were nearly 45 points up in the last quarter and won by 12 points.
How can you give up that much of a lead?
Okay.
Disgusting.
We'll get to that, but St. Kilda won by 12 points. Hawthorn kicked a goal just after the siren, so it was actually...
Three goals.
Comfortable.
No. After the siren, so it didn't count.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was almost 6 points.
St. Kilda are wobbly.
Wow.
Are they back in the eight now? No.
Yes.
Yes, they're eighth.
I think they're eighth.
Yeah.
The most unconvincing eighth in the world.
Yeah, seventh and eighth. Sixth, seventh and eighth. Shit.
Carlton.
Fifth as well.
We'll get to that. Frio, Carlton, St. Kilda, sixth, seventh, eighth.
Wobbly. This top eight, honestly, every weekend the footy ends and you look at the ladder and you're like, every weekend it feels like there's only 2 wins away from every spot being sewn up and locked in.
Yep.
And then none of those results play out. And it's like, fucking hell. Richmond is still... So many teams are still alive. Technically, Gold Coast, still mathematically possible. They just have to go 3-0.
I will also say that I reckon if you play this podcast from round 13 onwards, I reckon there's like 4 or 5 weeks in a row where Tom, you will say, top eight's sewn up now.
Totally.
Top eight's not moving.
Yeah. I've got to stop.
Just quietly. Who here has been calling Sydney top four all year? This guy.
Sean Carney.
Yeah.
They're just quietly going about it, getting it done.
They got North next week. Then they got Collingwood. If they beat Collingwood, they go top four. And then they got St Kilda.
That's a pretty juicy run home for the Swans.
Sydney are already top four, aren't they?
Yeah. Right now, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. They're currently top four. They should win at least two of those last three.
Very juicy.
Oh, that's massive.
Tom.
Yes.
Speaking of juicy comebacks.
Yes.
Next game.
I love a footy team, boys.
Tom, be quick about it. We don't have a lot of time, all right?
We've flown through half the round in under 10 minutes, so...
I've got all the time in the world.
No.
We're trying to set a record here, okay?
15-minute episode of How Good's Footy? look, I love my boys. Huge win. Looked fucked in that quarter time. Got it back to even-ish, kind of broke even in that second quarter. And then... third quarter just went, hey, Bevo, get fucked, champ.
So you know how when it comes to Essendon and Brisbane, Joel and I will like to let each other know when we're home, when we can breathe and relax, and it's generally in the last sort of 60 seconds of the game?
Yeah.
Yes.
When did I tell you were home, Tom?
You told me about halfway through the third quarter.
I told you as soon as you hit the front.
Yeah, we hit the lead and
I said, stick a fork in it, it's done.
Were you wrong? No.
I was not. I knew I wouldn't be.
Mm. What I've liked about us this year is that first quarter blitz by the Bulldogs in previous seasons would have cooked us. Like, we would have struggled to get back and probably ended up losing by the margin of whatever it was at quarter time. We've done that in previous years.
Yep.
It was really nice just for the team to adjust on the run and then basically... because the issue we were having is we're just getting killed through the middle. The Bulldogs midfield is absurdly broad and powerful. And then Geelong just went... nah, get fucked. Our midfield is also a little bit psycho. Dangerfield put on the cape that is starting to fray a little bit. It's a bit more tattered than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He just went to work.
Yep.
Hitting packs at speed. He like just throwing bodies around. There's a passage of play where he sockers the ball forward out of the middle, pushes past Libber, and then just body lines Caleb Daniel into tomorrow, picks the ball up, gets it out, we kick a goal. Like, it's just that third quarter was very exciting to watch. Quick shout out, our three small forwards, Myers, Close, and Stengel. They went off the chain in the third quarter. Brad Close this year, you're telling me, Dusha, a friend of yours has had a bet on him every week where he kicks at least one and get 15 touches?
Gamble responsibly. One of my friends loves Brad Close because he wears long sleeves and he thinks that he looks good in long sleeves. So he's like 15 disposals and one goal every week. And I think it's come off the last 3 or 4 weeks, which has funded his entire year of, well, and then some.
Yeah,
wow.
No.
Geelong, premiership favourites. Wow. Gamble Jesus. Responsibly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's stressing me out a heap. Yep. Again, they were awesome. Stengel just continues to be ridiculous. Like, the amount of time, Sean, he got the ball and it looked like he was going to get tackled, he just takes, like, two steps back.
Yeah.
And, like, players are falling over.
He's the best small forward in the game.
He's unreal at the moment. Yep. And Myers, again, a lot of people talk about his kicking action and how it's a bit weird. And it is. His hands, though, no one talks about how good his handballing is. His hands in close, unreal. Like, just through traffic, hits a target. And always in motion. Just
runs and runs and runs. He must have a bloody great running coach.
Very good running coach.
Mm, one of the best in Geelong.
One of the best in Geelong.
Mm. In the world.
In the world, yeah. So huge win. Cop that, Bevo. Cats are looking good. And of course, it was big. Good to see them get up for Joel's Selwood's 350th.
Of course, yes.
Huge game. We were debating before the show about his impact on the game. And I was saying that he's arguably the greatest player for Geelong in its history.
Yeah.
A point that I still stand by.
Yep. Instant Hall of Fame.
I walk up start in the Hall of Fame.
For culture, poor Billy Brownless could be better.
Yep.
Oh, for cultural attache role of Geelong. Yep. That's definitely a Brownless role.
But Nathan Ablett.
Nathan Ablett for greatest stories from a footballer who just would leave. And that story of him sitting in the rooms at halftime watching the game instead of coming back onto the field is one of the funniest things.
Didn't want to be out there or what?
Just kind of got distracted.
Okay.
He's a unique individual.
Yeah, fair enough.
He played like three seasons, won a premiership, retired, came out of retirement, played one season and like two games at the Suns and then retired again.
Good on him.
Just, good bloke. Anyway, yeah, congratulations, Joel Selwood. Big fan. Great for him to get the win, and hopefully he can continue to just... It's going to be weird when he retires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real soon.
Yeah, I think this is his last season.
Yeah.
Just that
he don't think he'll step down as captain and play one season where he's just
No.
I don't taking the captaincy with him. Do you reckon, guys... So in NBA, for example, you retire numbers for players. Do you reckon that Geelong will retire... The captaincy? 14. No. Retire the captaincy.
It's funny. I was just thinking that. Yeah, no captains ever again.
No captains.
Yeah. You don't have a good one lined up anyway. So what's the point?
Well, what, it's Stewart and Danger
murderer.
The next 2 days. Thanks. Hey, Tom Stewart came back. He's very good at football.
Mm. Yeah. Well, what did he come back from?
Huh?
What did he come back from?
Yeah. What did he come back from?
Dion Presti.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still a good boy.
Yeah. Was it celebrated? Was his return celebrated? Everyone loved to see him back out there.
I loved to see him back out there.
Mm. You've got a lot of words to say about when other players do that, though. Like when Toby Green came back and everyone was like, Toby Green's back.
Yes.
I will say, very different circumstances.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah. The circumstances are that one plays for Geelong.
No. Toby Green has a history of being an absolute fucking penis head.
Wow. I'll allow it because you called him a penis head.
Thank you. Anyway, go Cats.
Next game.
Sorry, just one more thing.
Yep.
Just seeing Bevo on the TV. Is he looking a bit small and weak?
He looks like a man. It looks like he's done a weird crash diet and it hasn't gone well for him.
What's going on with Bevo?
Don't know.
Maybe mustache is looking a bit haggard too.
Like, if anything, he needs to bulk up if he's going to fight me.
Are you worried that maybe his team were his sustenance and because they're shit now, he's losing all his powers?
It's true. The Bulldogs were the mother's milk to Luke Beveridge. Now he's just looking, maybe shave the mustache and just be reborn again.
Shave the head. Go full aero.
Wow. Fucking hell.
I'm worried, though, that if
what's aerodynamic coaching, I wonder? Just going nuts.
Well, no, I think coaches go the opposite way. They, like, kind of let themselves go and they get a little bit of, like, stubble.
Okay.
Stewie Jew.
Chris Scott grew the hair out, all of a sudden looks like a great
coach. Want Bevo to have fun again. He looks like he's not having fun.
Get back on the skateboard,
I want, when they
Bevo.
Cut to him in the box, I want him to be eating something completely fucked. That's a good way to get things... Get a bit of fun back.
Yeah, just eating a bento box.
Yep, something like that. Maybe some noodles.
Do you reckon he needs to fight Damien Barrett again? Do you reckon that'll revitalize him?
Headbutt him, perhaps. Oh. Yeah.
That's what he needs to do, you're right. He was revitalized after he got Tom Morris fired from his career.
That did sort of charge him up, and the Dogs lifted a little bit.
He needs to end another journalist career. That's what getting him back on.
Yeah, Damo Barrett's just sitting there waiting for
him.
He's
ready to go, that four-eyed fuck.
I wonder if Bevo got a tattoo of Kane Corns, if things would improve.
Oh. What if he teamed up with Kane Corns?
I did a podcast with Kane.
Whoa. What about if... Kane Corns one day
became his spiritual advisor.
Sunday footy show. He's like, Damo says something fucked, and Kane Corns like, I've actually got a guest I want to bring out. It's Bevo.
Fucking
hell. And then
you
just hear, you have like Billy going, Bevo's got a chair. He's hit him with a chair.
Billy comes back on the show.
Just like that.
Oh, fuck.
Wow. That'll be
just
great.
Bevo having theme music so you know he's coming out.
What would his theme song be?
Oh, I don't even know. It'd be like something a bit chill, but you know, it's like April Sun in Cuba or fucking something like that.
You imagine being like K-San for some reason.
K-San feels like that's Stewie Jew's walkout music.
What if you're watching Sunday Footy Show and suddenly you just hear the Freed from Desire song and everyone's like, what the fuck? And then Bevo runs
takes out Barrett, puts his glasses on, sits down and is like, yes, I'm
the cunt now.
Sliding doors every week, just replace the set of about teams. It's just always about, if I punch Barrett in the face, he will not be able to see properly.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think they should do that. Also, I reckon if that happened on the Sunday Footy Show, people wouldn't even talk about it because they're like, that's not that much more chaotic than it usually is.
It wouldn't be the most cooked thing that happened on it.
Yeah.
Billy comes back on and does the countdown of TJ's top five moments and does the back-to-back highlights of him being rejected by Rebecca Judd.
I just like the idea of more theme music for people.
Mm.
What would Fagan's theme be?
I don't know. I'm an old washed-up cunt.
Old Man River. Just old man. He's coming out waving to the crowd. Trucks?
Thomas the Tank Engine theme song.
What's Chris Scott's?
Well, in the lockdown era, I can surf in USA.
Yeah. He's still got that hair, though.
What would Chris Fagan's be?
I think Old Man River.
It needs to be some sort of song about, everything's okay. Don't worry.
Oh, every little thing's going to be all right. Don't worry about a thing.
What about Born to Run?
What, run away from a challenge? Oh, run away from defensive structure?
Oh, Jesus. I really want, I don't know who which coach it suits, and we might be able to brainstorm it. Yeah. I would love for a coach to come out to High Voltage.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, for...
By Electric Six.
Yeah. Wait, what? I thought you meant the ACDC.
No. By Hold, don't you know we keep starting fires? It's my desires.
I'm trying to think, because the band TISM have a song called I Might Be a Cunt, But I'm Not a Fucking Cunt. And I'm sure that could definitely fit.
I reckon that's Bevo.
Probably.
That's a song that plays, and then he says that, then punches Barrett.
Well, it is technically footy linked, because one of the lyrics of the song is like, I barrack for the power, but never for the Crows. Saying that cunts barrack for Port Power, but fucking cunts barrack for Adelaide.
I could also picture Bevo beating the shit out of Barrett to like, I'll do anything for love.
Yeah, it's big stuff. Yeah.
Huge stuff.
What's the next game?
Speaking of Adelaide and fucking cunts.
They won.
They rolled over the top of Carlton, who Vossi has an uphill battle in front of him.
Well, that's when legends respond.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he doesn't play for Carlton.
Might have to.
There's no rules to say that he can't.
There is no rule currently in AFL that says a dog cannot coach a team.
A dog?
Yeah. Air Bud reference.
Okay. I forgot how obsessed with Air Bud you were. Carlton. Suck shit. They probably only needed one more win to lock in finals, I'm pretty sure. So now they have to beat either Brisbane, Collingwood or Melbourne. Yeah.
And round 23 is
against Collingwood.
Carlton v. Collingwood.
That could be for top eight, could be for top four.
For both teams. It'll be, that's amazing.
Could mean that they play each other the next week in a final. Anything is possible right now.
Kevin Garnett was right.
He's never wrong.
Then the next game, Gold Coast almost did a huge piss and a huge shit in their shorts.
They nearly did.
Because they were
like 20-something points up or 30 points up?
I saw more.
So at one point in the game, they were 27 points up, I believe.
And they nearly choked that lead.
But in the last quarter, they were 31 points up.
Sean, how do you feel about giving up a lead like that? What do you think of that?
It sounds disgusting from where I'm
sitting. So 31 points up in the last quarter. West Coast kicked the last...
5 or 6, I think.
So West Coast kicked 7 goals in the last quarter to Gold Coast 3.
Where's that been all year?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yep.
Fuck West Coast.
Fuck West Coast.
Ah, Adam Simpson.
Freo's the captain now.
Adam Simpson walks out to... Freo's the captain now. Adam Simpson walks out to the Beatles, I'm so tired.
Just need a song that is just Kill Me Now.
Yeah. Somebody Kill Me by Adam Sandler from The Wedding Singer.
That's actually what was in my head. Brilliant.
That'd be great.
Gold Coast, roller coaster year.
Yeah.
Just even within games. They're up, they're down, they're doing huge comebacks, they're winning after the siren, they're narrowly missing out on finals.
They're getting smashed by a team in the bottom four by 10 goals.
Baffling.
If all things go well, next year should be juicy.
Should be huge.
West Coast, don't know what to say.
I mean, they're still mathematically possible. They're alive.
Yeah, not going to happen, but you can dream.
I'm backing myself with that. No one responded to us, so I'm going to say it again. Stewie Juicy or Stuart Juicy?
Oh.
Well, it depends. Stuart Juicy with Stuart my father. Juicy.
Stuart Juicy's good, I reckon. What's Stuart the other option? Stewie Juicy.
Yeah.
Nah, Stuart Juicy.
Stuart Juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Fuck.
What's he coming out to?
That's very good.
The Subway theme song. I don't even know what it is.
He's coming out to Rock You Like a Hurricane, right?
Or like the theme from Rocky.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Or he's coming out of something that like feels like it's like, actually, you know, it'd be fucking great. I don't know which coach. No, Stuart Jew comes out to Killing in the Name Of.
Well, what about, well, next year, because Gold Coast, probably the first year Gold Coast make the finals. What about Feels Like the First Time?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's very good. Nice. That's good. Yeah.
Next game.
Sean.
Yes.
You have the floor.
Thank you. This segment is brought to you by On the Nature of Daylight by Max Richter.
is that your walkout music, Sean?
Yeah, I think so. It's the theme of Inner Peace. The journey towards inner peace. Anyway, Brisbane lost. They were up by 42 points at one stage.
Looked really good at halftime.
Looked fantastic for the first quarter and a half. I saw some signs heading into halftime that made me a little nervous. Hence, when you know, asked me if I was happy at halftime, I said, it was okay.
You were pacing during halftime.
Oh, a lot of pacing. A lot of staring out at the ocean.
saying, I'm coming.
Yeah, I did think I was going to walk into it. Brisbane look really good when everything's going their way. They look like, you know, one of the best teams in the comp, I think. Yep. Joey Danaher kicked 3 goals in the first quarter. Yes. Eric Hipwood was on fire.
He had a really good game across the board, I thought.
Everyone was lively. Harris Andrews and Darcy Gardner were looking good. Kadeem Coleman, absolutely flying. He's the big steal of the year. Like, he's just fantastic.
What pick did you get him at?
I'm trying to think. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was an academy pick.
Didn't you have to go a bit early, though, because Collingwood tried to bid on him?
Maybe. I can't remember, but it wouldn't have been like – it would have been around 30 upwards, I'd say.
Steal.
He's been fantastic. When he, in his early career, I think we played him sort of half forward, which is really fucking hard for a young player to come in. Yep. And then sort of the back end of last year, someone got injured at one point, and he just came in and played a half back. And it was like, fucking hell, Coleman as a half back looks great. Maybe that solves the speed issue and things like that.
It does.
It was fantastic. He ran himself into the ground, actually. He had to hit the pickle juice real hard. He was off the ground for about 10 or 12 minutes.
Yep. And then immediately came back on and hit 2 contests at full speed.
Yeah. Now, what was the thing VT said?
He had straight line disease.
VT had a bad day.
Had a shocking day.
He's perhaps had a bad several years.
I was about to say, when was his last good day? And yeah. Why was it the 2016 grand final call on Triple M?
Yeah.
Fuck!
When Boyd kicked that goal, something in him broke and it's never been put back together.
No.
So then Richmond basically then... Brisbane were running through the corridor. Richmond took that away in the second half and started to play their, you know, classic chaos game. Brisbane don't have the speed to match that. Defensively, we suck shit, to be quite honest. We used to be a really good defending team when Luke Hodge was there. Now they're crap. And a big part of it, too, it's not just like on the feet of Harris Andrews. It's the midfield defensive aspects as well.
They don't push back hard enough?
No, they don't push back hard enough. They're not getting it done.
There's, no Rich hurt you, too.
Though. No Rich hurt, no Stasevich really hurt, particularly when it got like close late. We didn't have the on-field leadership. Well, I think certain clubs, like you talked about Joel Selwood, Tom, he gets you over the line. Brisbane don't have a get-you-over-the-line player because their leader is Dane Zorko, who probably gave... 3 or 4 goals indirectly or directly through free kicks and just through bullshit that he does. And that's stock standard by him. You actually just expect it now, and it's like, well, there he goes again. I've said it before. He just shouldn't be the captain of this team. I would go even further. If he was to retire at the end of this year, I wouldn't be sad. And yeah. I wouldn't. He's been a fantastic servant of the club and all that. But fuck me, his leadership kills us. It absolutely kills us. Lachie Neal isn't impacting in the same way he was earlier in the year. Hugh McCluggage, like these guys can just get shut down. We don't have the mongrel in us to like fight it out. When things get hard, Brisbane have kind of fallen apart. And one of Fagan's big things is like when we lose, we learn. And what I think we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years where we've been a decent, like a top 4 sort of team, what are they actually learning? Because I watch it and I'm like, you're losing the same way every time you do.
Yeah.
A team hits back at you hard and we never seem to have those games where we're playing well and the other team's playing well at the same time, those classic matches. It's either we're doing really well or they play well and we can't stop momentum.
Yeah.
So I think it is a coaching, it's becoming a coaching issue. If you're up by 7 goals and at no point, and it's a pretty senior team now, pretty experienced team.
Yeah.
How come no one on the field or no one in the coach's box can do anything that can stop them from like a 50-point turnaround and stealing the game from us?
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We must have read the same article because there was an article maybe on the AFL doc website about the Brisbane game that said they lack a talisman. They talked about Joel Selwood. They talked about how Martin, when Richmond were really good, had Martin. Luke Hodge had that at Hawthorn. Teams have that like talismanic figure who just goes, no. Let's go. And they're like,
I'll carry it. Come with me.
Yeah.
Brisbane, they just frankly don't have that.
Have they?
I think
in
years gone by, Robbo sort of fit the bill.
Yep.
But it's just gotten too hard for him now.
Yeah, he's a bit too old.
His weapons are a little bit blunted from what they were in like sort of peak 2019 for him, I think. And then outside of him, you know, Matho's having a fair crack, but it's just like I'd love Jared Berry to do more. Like, I just look all around the ground and I'm like, when Hawthorn were a good team, they're like mongrel cunts.
Yeah.
Brisbane don't really seem to have any, I don't know, there's just not enough fight, I think. When things go bad, Brisbane don't stand up. They tend to just sort of fall away. And so after this game, I went for a walk.
Yeah.
I think I was gone for like an hour.
You were,
I went down to the beach.
It was raining. It's also worth noting.
It was raining. I forgot my rain jacket. Frustrating. Put my headphones in, listened to Max Richter, and just had a long walk. And I was just thinking about the game. And it's just, I don't know how to get this in a piece because it's not going to be from a premiership this year. I can tell you that. The best defensive teams win the premiership.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbane have 3 weeks before finals to, like, they're not going to turn this around in 3 weeks. So I think it's what I've probably said all year. I think we're sort of a top six sort of team.
Well, you're now fifth.
Well, fifth. And, like, if we lose our next three games, which are all very, like, they're tricky, dangerous games.
Yep.
Some of them are quite hard, even, like the one against Melbourne.
Is that round 23?
It's possible that Brisbane missed the finals. I don't think that's going to happen. I think no. They'll probably steady a little bit, win two out of the three, or maybe they win all three. I don't know.
The two Gabba games help you, I think.
Yeah, against Carlton and Melbourne, and then there's one against St Kilda and Melbourne, which you just don't know what to expect with St Kilda or with Brisbane. When Brisbane come to Melbourne, it's like, God, you got a feel for the Victorian fans.
Yeah. I will also say one thing that we almost forgot to mention about this game is Cunt of the Game Award goes to Jack Riewoldt.
Oh, that was grubby.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Okay, I'd forgotten it in my rage. He did a lot of just dumb cunt things because he's not that good a player anymore, if I've been perfectly honest.
No.
But Tom Lynch took a mark or got a free kick? Got a free kick. Ball is in his hands in the goal square.
And Lynch,
Tom Lynch, too, who's been struggling a bit, would love the confidence of kicking some goals. He had a great second half, by the way.
He did, yeah. He kicked 4-1 in the end.
Yeah,
but this but
he had a real shaky start. Jack Riewoldt just came in, pinched it out of his hand, ran in and kicked the goal. It's probably the grubbiest thing I've seen from
him. It's not like
Lynch handballed it to him. Lynch kind of watches him like, you know when you take something off a kid just before they cry and they're like, they're trying to process how this happened?
Yeah.
That's what Lynch looks
like. It's honestly pathetic. And I wish Brisbane had won because then I think there'd be more pressure on that moment.
Yeah.
Things get forgotten in a win. But I think if Richmond were to have lost,
that'd
be one of the critical things you'd look back on and go, well, that's just fucking selfish. How do you do that to your teammates?
I mean, I understand why he does it because look at his coach.
Players play on to advantage quite often from a free kick and will kick a goal because it makes it certainty. But it's already certainty because he's on the top of the goal square.
Yep.
And it's not like the ball's on the ground and he's played on. He's ripped it out of his teammates.
Yeah, and it's not like Lynch kind of tapped it up or let it like passed it along
or even like held it out.
Yeah,
he's getting up holding.
Yeah.
Some questionable umpiring.
Yes,
but the Brisbane score review. Brisbane's I mean, it was dumb, but whatever. Brisbane surrendered a 7-goal lead. It's like, you're not good enough, so whatever, it doesn't matter.
It is worth, I mean, guess the goal review is probably worth noting because it was just not like even like it from a bad umpiring point of view. It was just really confusing and weird.
Well, if you're at the game, it would be more confusing.
My brother called me and said, we just actually at the game had no idea what the fuck had happened because they did the score review and it's a clear goal. And then they're kind of like, so what the fuck happened? What happened was it was a free kick for the push. Richmond guy did a huge jump forward and milked a free kick.
Yep.
But the umpire said, give me the ball. It's your free kick. We've got to check the video anyway. There's no point to check the video.
Yeah, because the score isn't going to register.
I think I read today something like the umpire actually got confused about which team had been involved in the free kick or something like that. Like he thought it had been the attack. I don't know, some weird thing. The umpire lost his mind.
So initially he's like, we need to see if it's a goal though, because then the advantage is the goal. And then as he's called it, he's realized, oh, fuck, it's the wrong team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one more thing on the umpiring. This isn't like an influence the game type thing, whatever. Brisbane weren't good enough to win, so I'm not trying to complain about umpires. But I don't know if it was one guy in particular or all three of them having a go. None of them could bounce the ball in the middle of the ground. The amount of times they called the ball back, and then there was one crucial one where it went out, and you're like, fuck, here we go, we're going to call back again. And I reckon he got embarrassed to do it again. So it was play on, and then, Richmond kicked a goal from it. And it's like, well, that one should be called back. Like, there was a few moments like that. It's just bullshit. Richmond, hate them. They're cunts. You got to respect the tenacity to get back and win, though.
Sean,
Brisbane just need to be harder mentally, and Fagan, like, they really need to have a good hard look at what's going on up there.
But if you are a Brisbane supporter, Sean, your advice would be to go for a walk and listen to some Max.
Yeah, no, it is. But just be realistic and be like, we're not going to win this year. You never stop believing. This is the thing, like, within a piece. Hope will always survive as long as you keep believing. And so I believe Brisbane will win a grand final. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I believe it can be. Miracles can happen. We've seen the Bulldogs climb off the canvas and go on a finals run. So just the next 3 weeks, it's all about getting the best position, I guess, in the top eight and then trying to have a fucking crack. But you would look at it on exposed form and be like, I cannot actually fathom how they could do this.
What is your form at the moment?
Well, the form's not great. Like, I think we were 8-1, and then since then we're 5-5.
Yeah, 5-5.
So, yeah. And even when we were 8-1, if you remember, I wasn't super positive. Because and people think I was crazy, but like if you were to watch Brisbane as I do week in, week out, there were
the wins weren't convincing.
We smashed North Melbourne, but North were, you know, it's no disrespect to them, but at that point, witch's hat sort of level, to be honest. So yeah, Brisbane, they just haven't been that impressive this year. It's never really clicked, and yet they've been living in the top four for pretty much the whole year. So there's always that belief that something crazy might just click, and it might happen. But you look at it and you go, when a team plays well, Brisbane can't really handle it when it's a good team.
There've been years though, like in Richmond's sustained period, where they had like hit points in this season where it looked like they were going to stumble into finals.
Yeah, I know, but they also had points though, Tom, where they had blocks in the season where like, fuck, they look powerful. And Brisbane have never had that. They've been like in the premiership odds still high up just because of ladder position and because of previous seasons. But they haven't had a period of sustained dominance. And particularly, yeah, since the bye, 5-5 is fucking crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy to look at Brisbane, who are 5th with 5-5, and Essendon, who are 14th with 5-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since the bye.
Since Jesus. The bye.
The difference is they went 8-1 and you went 1-8.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, yeah, some things to work on, really. I've been saying for a long time now, look out for this fixture, the Brisbane v Richmond. We'll find out. And I think we did find out.
Yeah. Well, this was always the danger game. You'd been calling it the danger game for weeks.
Not so much like it was, it's always going to be a danger game, but it was more, it was the barometer of like,
the yardstick.
What did we learn from the Melbourne debacle? And you could say, oh, but look at that first half we had. We're up by 42. But it's like, look how badly Richmond played.
Yeah.
Richmond don't play that badly that often. And I don't think it was, I think it was less about Richmond underperforming than Brisbane being so dominant that they shut Richmond down, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Richmond steadied in the coach's box and did a few things to block off the corridor and all these little things. And then Brisbane just sort of wilted.
Yeah.
And you kept watching it and thinking, oh, surely at some point, like Richmond can't sustain this for a whole half. Brisbane will have a little period. And they had their time. They had Robbo missed an easy goal. I think Big O missed one possibly. Joey, I can't remember. They had opportunities and they didn't take them. And Richmond took opportunities and won the game. And that's what good teams do.
Next game.
So while the previous game was happening, from halftime onwards, I'd fired up the Essendon North Melbourne game on my phone.
Yep.
Things went pretty smoothly. I just kept most of what I was seeing to myself out of respect.
Yep.
Jake Stringer kicked, I think, 5 goals.
He did, yes.
5-3, which is a real Noah Bolter effort.
Jeez. Oh, no, Shea Bolton.
Shea Bolton.
Yeah.
Noah Bolter.
Did he go 0-3 and then come home with 5?
Because Noah Bolton went 0-4, I think.
Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah.
I think he kicked, so Stringer kicked 3 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then was quiet. And then I think kicked maybe 2 in the, 2 in a minute in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Just, you know, close the door.
Yeah.
It was also worth noting that Zach Merritt had a pretty quiet first half.
Disgusting, really.
Yeah.
If you're a fantasy coach, you would be spewing.
Imagine
half-time.
If you'd made him captain at half time and you're seeing 37 times 2, that's only not a big number that I can't remember. 74?
Yeah. Great news, though, because in the back half, he scored, I think, around 145 fantasy points.
It's actually insane.
And came home with
172?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you did captain him, he would have finished in the 300s.
Which I did, and he did. Mason Redmond continuing to look like he's probably going to win our best and fairest if Merritt doesn't.
Yep.
He's a Jet. He kicked one from 55 on the run. His favorite. I don't know why teams let this happen. I guess like Essendon is not really that much of a threat, but he did it against Sydney as well, and it hurt them of like
just giving
someone letting, takes a mark just outside the forward 50, and he's just lingering, and you're like, the moment he starts running, they're going to handball it to him. He's going to have a ping.
Yeah.
And
he did.
He did, and he nailed it, and he put the horns were out.
I love the horn celebration.
It's
He should have.
There's a tattoo.
There's a tattoo.
Oh, Mason Redmond's horns.
The horns, and on top of the horns, he's holding up the Premiership Cup.
Oh,
2023.
James Stewart came back for the first time in a long time, and he kicked 3.
I didn't know he was still on your list.
Yeah, well, he is. He kicked 3, played up forward, which I think we also, when he's in, we kind of play him. We usually play him
in the back line because you've needed defenders. And he's done well in the back line.
Yeah, he's been in the VFL most of the year, and I think he's been kicking bags every now and then. So forward's definitely the place for him.
Do you know how Hurley's going in the VFL?
He's playing.
I only saw the first game back. He had like 5 touches. It was pretty sort of slow return.
It's I don't think he's been playing well enough that a farewell game is on the cards yet.
Damn. Okay.
I mean,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight.
Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Essendon 1.
Essendon 1. Peter Wright is clear fourth in the Coleman, which is funny.
That is actually fucked because he had a period of the year where he was really quiet.
Yeah. Early.
He started well, I think. Did he start well? I thought he jumped out of the blocks and everyone was like, oh, Peter Wright.
No, I think that was last year.
Oh, okay.
This year he's kind of was quiet early and has just kind of built.
Yeah.
Right, consistently fuck. Across the back half of the year.
Yeah, I think it was round 3 was when he kicked a shitload of goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 2 goals against Geelong round 1, 3 against Brisbane, 4 against Melbourne, 3 against... Actually, no, he's just kicked...
Kicking 3s and 4s.
Bags the 3 and 4.
Wow, consistent.
Or no goals against Fremantle round 5, 1 against Collingwood, 4 against the Dogs, 6 against Hawthorn, 2 against Sydney.
I'm probably thinking of that week, the 2 weeks where he kicked 0 and 1, and it was like, he's dropped off.
He's dropped off, and then he
back to normal
6.
Business, and then he went bang.
Oh, yeah, because he went 2-0-0. Zero. What the fuck? He went 3 weeks in a row without kicking a goal.
That's what. Okay, fourth, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, he kind of dipped off a bit, but now he's somehow fourth still.
Well, yeah, because after the bye, he's gone 0-4-4. Come on, phone. Come on. Load. Guess we'll never know. My phone stopped loading and froze.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's good to have a key forward.
Good to have a key forward.
A reliable one.
Hey, it is good to have a reliable key forward.
Yep.
Love Peter Wright.
Two of them for you.
We got two of them, yeah. Tommy Hawkins, Jeremy Cameron. Tom Hawkins too, also him and Joel Selwood are now 300 games together as players, I think puts them third on the all-time
list. That's fucked, but it's not Geelong's time now, Tom.
No, sorry, just it came up.
No, but all seriousness, that's really impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This was kind of, I guess, scary for us because Essendon could have easily been flat after losing last week and also had no midfield and got absolutely fucked in the clearances as a result. North Melbourne doubled our clearances.
Yeah.
Because
who do you play next week?
Giants.
Oh, fucking hell. Are you still mathematically possible?
No. No.
Mark McVay and Hurd could defect halfway through that game in disgust.
Well, I'm also a little...
We'll take one of them.
McVay?
Ooh. Fuck Hurd.
Yeah, correct.
Although it is also scary because like sometimes when you've got a coaching staff that played or was involved with one club, they're like, well, we know their tricks, so...
I don't think they would know their tricks.
It's so long
neither
ago,
have
though.
Been yeah. there for so many years, yeah. And Essendon are only just figuring out what their tricks are.
That's true. That's true.
Hope they do think that. Hurdy's like, I know their tricks, and just pulls a needle out.
And Mark's like, no, we're not doing that anymore. No, Hurdy!
But yeah, good stuff. And look, if you're a North Melbourne supporter, there was still some bright spots because Jai Simpkin had 41 touches.
Jesus.
He's powering through the year.
Stevenson also had 34 touches.
He's an enigma, that boy.
He is a fascinating player.
Yep.
So yeah, Horn Francis also had a pretty big game, so that's good.
How many did he have?
24, 25.
Good for him. Bouncing back, building up some form.
Just keep working your way
through. Taking it into next year.
21 touches and 1 tackle.
That's good.
It's a building block. He want to change that tackle stat.
Don't worry, he will.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Jai Simpkin's probably a better look. 41 touches, 5 tackles. Or I guess you could look at Merritt.
Too much of the ball for him.
Yeah. 38.
Take off 10 touches and add 10 tackles. And we're cooking.
Yeah, I mean, Merritt.
Then we're winning flags.
Merritt probably won't impress you that much either because 38 touches, 10 tackles.
10 tackles? That is good, though.
That is good. For a 38
hitting 10 tackles
game,
is good, yeah.
Also, Stringer had 14 touches but laid 7 tackles.
7 for him.
That's
okay.
Good. Ooh, that's a good sign for... Langford laid 5 tackles.
Stringer needs to have the biggest preseason of his fucking life.
Well, they'll say
he does
has.
Every year.
Yeah.
Well, he had, yeah, he played a pretty good game, but it was against bottom of the ladder. So.
Imagine a year where he does not get injured.
Well, it'd be like last year.
Australian, Coleman,
yeah,
Brownlow, Norm Smith.
Jake Stringer's Brownlow speech would be... He'd be fired. Yeah. They'd take it off him.
Channel 7 would lose their license, yeah. Their broadcasting license.
Well, it's like, it'll be the same tension that happened the moment Dusty hit the stage. They're like, oh no, what is he going to say?
So I've gone looking, I wanted to look up some tackle stats going through the weekend, who had some big ones. And I'm looking and I'm going, oh, there hasn't been too many. But then I get to Rowbottom, who played for Sydney, 23 touches, 1 goal, 13 tackles.
That's good.
That's a juicy performance.
Fucking hell.
A lot of not quite double figures earlier than that. Let's just see here. 11 tackles to Brad Crouch. That's all right. That's not really what I'm after. I don't think I'm going to get better than 13.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Nah, I'm just
no. One thing I forgot, just back to Brisbane quickly. Bailey got injured and he was in hospital actually.
Oh.
With some kidney. I think a kidney issue.
No, wasn't it his lungs? Wasn't he spitting up, coughing up blood? My kidney, though, is gnarly.
I need to check that.
That's not good from him.
Internal damage. Kidney blow.
Jesus.
I think he's been released from hospital now, though, but I don't know if he'll play this week. But yeah, it looked like a sort of innocuous thing.
Just got him in the wrong spot.
Yeah, and then, of course, we got to activate our very wisely chosen sub, Darcy Ford. The fact they continue to do that.
Well, that was the exact moment.
Chris Fagan, though, did say.
Oh, did he say, fuck, we got that wrong? Because you know what? They also got it wrong last week. Or whenever. Did we play Gold Coast last week? We lost a player. Rich went off 10 minutes to go. Tight game. Darcy Fort came on. We were fucking very lucky to get away with that.
Now, I understand the logic behind making that choice when Danaher and Hipwood weren't available. Because if you lost a big.
Look at Danaher, Hipwood, McStay. Down the other end, they've got Gardner, Andrews, Adams. What do they want?
So who would you have put as medical sub?
Dev Robertson.
Yeah.
Jackson Pryor.
Yep.
Someone who can run. I think the ideal medical sub is someone who can play forward, mid, or back. As simple as that.
Lockie Neal.
Or someone who can come on and play a role so that a player who
can run. Yep. Like, you look what happened. And then, so they lost Grimes. And that's a pretty crucial thing when Brisbane's forward line was looking good. They brought on Pickett.
Morris Rioli.
Yeah, so he came on and like fucking hell, look at the run he provided.
I think he kicked a goal pretty quickly after coming on.
So we get Darcy Fort, who has no impact, no disrespect, because he's been really good for us this year, but that's not the role that you want him to play.
Yeah.
And they've done it again and again. And I'm glad that Fagan's admitted to it now, but like, fuck me. Yeah. They're too stubborn up there. And I'm a stubborn man.
We had Jai Menzies play his first game as a medical sub. He got activated, 10 touches.
Good boy.
5 kicks, 5 handballs, a tackle.
Oh, that's good. What would it be better? 5 tackles. 5-5-5. That is the 5-5, baby.
took 3 marks. And also there was one point where like his eyes lit up. He got the ball. It was very like the goals were an option, but he was like, I won't be a hero. Just huge bullet pass to I think Jones who kicked the goal. Was in a better spot.
Good boy.
Unselfish.
Good work, Bombs.
Joel, we got any emails, mate?
We have, Tom, and 2 weeks ago, maybe 3, I put a call out. And I think that this is going to be a good week because, Tom, you've got the win.
Yep.
Sean, you've got the loss. Me and you will need this, I reckon. Tom, and you'll enjoy it because I'm going to say the word comes a lot.
Oh, yes.
Because 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, emailers, let us know which footballers make you do big comes. Because that's the kind of energy Haggard's footy needs to recapture, especially at the pointy end of the year. My season's fucked. Your season's...
Fucked. Fine.
Well, yeah, fucked. And Tom, you're premiership favourites. So,
stressed.
Let's start with Dan, who says, Tipper kicking the sealer against North Melbourne in 2019 resulted in the biggest come. Sorry, Tom, but also that Nick Davis final quarter against Geelong in 2005.
I respect that and understand.
Is a big come moment.
It
from
is.
Dan. We then have Shay, subject, fuck the D's. But then the email just says, Jamara Ugel-Hagan makes me do big cums.
It's true.
Especially when he kicks 5. Fucking hell. Then.
He looked up and about at the start of the Bulldogs game this week too.
We got a fresh one while recording.
Whoa. So Jake's also emailed us. Subject, footballers that make you cum. Jake says, Dan Butler. When he's on, he's on. Love that man. I miss his mullets. And then the one that's coming in red hot and fresh is from Owen. which is not about a player that makes him do a big cum.
Oh.
But in fact, a player whose nickname is Cummy.
Okay.
Dear footy purveyors of the highest order, this may have already been covered on How Good's Footy and I missed it, but I wanted to bring to the pod's attention, if it hasn't already, that Richmond's Cumberland's nickname is Cummy. Maybe this was common knowledge.
That's...
But I was only aware of it when Cochin was asked about Cummy blowing it at the end of the draw with Freo the round before last and casually said, we would have loved for Cummy to go back and have a shot. I've played a lot of team sports and accordingly played alongside teammates with some pretty fucked nicknames, but none as good slash bad as Cummy. If you were each named Cumberland, would you love or hate the Cummy Monkier? Cheers for the great pod as always, Owen.
I think if you call Cumberland, Cumby is way Cumby better.
Cumby would be, yeah. Somewhere way along the line, it got lost in translation. And he's now. just on Cummy, he was a Brisbane Lions Academy player.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, Brisbane wanted to get, and then Richmond swooped in out of nowhere with like a pretty early bid, and I don't think Brisbane either wanted to match that high or had the points to do it, so they pinched him.
Bastards.
Yep. And then he killed us.
Yeah. Jesus.
And finally, one that slipped through the cracks because their name isn't attached to it and their email address is cooked. But I'm assuming their name is Mike based on what I can see. Big Cum, subject, was it a subject?
Yep.
Max King, next question. That's it. That's all it says.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's good. Now, finally, Sean, I want to throw over to you because you sent an email on the show last week.
I did.
And we got a response.
You're kidding.
Should I read the email? I don't think I read our one out last
week. Yeah, read them both. He's replied though. Stu has replied.
Here we go.
Fucking hell.
Dear Mr. Martin, we hope this email finds you well and in good health. Now let's get straight to business. As the coach of the How Good's Footy Reserves fantasy team, Jake Stringer Stan, you have an obligation to yourself and the integrity of the league to manage your team in a way that fits the spirit of the competition. With an 0-19 coaching record at the end of the home and away season, and to what a casual observer would call no changes made to your team during this losing campaign, questions have been raised repeatedly. Please respond with a formal account of what has happened to your team this season and why this has been allowed to occur on your watch. We look forward to hearing your prompt reply. Kind regards, How Good's Footy Internal Affairs Team.
And he responded, Sean.
We got a response.
This is incredible.
Joel, would you like me?
Good morning, How Good's Footy Internal Affairs Team. I am at a loss, and after some soul searching, all I can truly ask for is forgiveness. Like my iPhone screen I type on, I stand before you as a broken man. I could attempt to placate my absence with some backwards logic, e.g. a losing streak is still a streak, and for The Undertaker to go 21-0 at WrestleMania, some people just needed to lose. I can offer you some insights to a personal note to gather sympathy for a potential reprieve, such as not being a fan of the team name you have chosen in a rush, general life issues, moving house and a new job being stressful and time-consuming, despair at the state of the world, the impending birth of my child severely limiting my free time, not noticing the weekly AFL send reminders to set my team emails that went into my spam folder. I pride myself as an honest, hard-working man, and I now realize that I have fallen short of the standard expected of me. The integrity of a newbie Aussie Rules Fantasy League is something sacrosanct.
Yep, and sacrosanct. Yep.
And fundamental to all of us as humans.
It's sacred, Joe.
Yeah, I got the context.
Yep.
I can only hope to raise my as of yet unborn child to be a better person than I.
Wouldn't be hard. More?
I hope I have somewhat wormed my way into your good graces, and perhaps in future seasons may I attempt the redemption arc. Absence makes the heart grow fonder after all. I shall, of course, humbly accept any punishments dished out for my actions. Best, Mr. Absence.
Can I just say, on that though, right, yeah. So there's a lot of reasons, you know.
Sorry, John, just before you jump into it,
yeah.
I think what he's done is a traitorous cunt move against the show. And the league. So we now have to open TC Court.
I wasn't expecting to be dragged into TC Court.
Tom, you have the floor.
Well, so I guess the case I was going to make there was that he's identified a number of reasons, provided evidence as to why he was unable to update his team.
Do any of those reasons hold up? under the microscope.
I would like to present before you go, Joel. I'd like to present Exhibit A as to why they didn't hold up to water. You could go back through the tapes. I reckon we've been calling out Stu Martin in the podcast for about 10 weeks.
It's possible that due to all these circumstances he's listed, he's not listening to the podcast because he didn't respond to any of those, but he responded rather promptly to an email.
It is interesting. I will also say, though, the excuse, I don't like my team name. You can change your team name.
That's his fault. Not been a fan of the team name. General life issues.
Could be his fault.
Could be your fault too. Moving house. I moved house. New job. You wanted it. Despair at the general state of the world. That is one that I can be like, yeah, fair enough.
But wouldn't a way
the impending birth of a child? Well, why don't you earn the respect of that child by playing well as a good coach? Not noticing the weekly AFL. No, that's just bullshit. That's 19 weeks of just... Yeah.
And you know the games are on.
Spam folder neglect.
Yeah. You know the games are on.
That's true. You know the games are on.
What's the vibe on this?
I think, Sean, you know the answer in your heart.
Well, I mean, the only question is it a... I mean, it's a ban.
For life.
Length of ban is what comes into play.
Well, Sean's been banging the gavel for a life ban since, I reckon, round six.
I think the issue here, Sean, is I think punishment needs to serve a purpose.
Yes.
And what it needs to do is it needs to rehabilitate, not just shut down.
Yep.
So I don't think a life ban helps him at all. How can Stu ever redeem himself if he is banned for life?
Well, here's a theory and something that we can cannot confirm nor deny at the moment, because obviously we are still quite deep. Well, not even. We're deep in a season, but at the very, very start of a finals campaign.
Yeah.
Yep.
There has been talks of a third league.
Correct.
So.
Does Stu get a crack at redemption in that league?
And if Stu bans his team next year in the third mysterious league,
I think,
is that a life ban?
I think repeated behaviour is not a mistake. So if he does again, that is a life ban. I think what he also needs to provide is his password so that the team can be bequeathed onto somebody else.
Oh, actually, that's huge.
You know
what?
I'd like him to create a dummy email address.
Yep.
And then that information, yeah, he will forfeit his team.
I think it's the Stu Martin at StuMartinRedemption@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Stu, get that account locked away.
All right, look.
Oh,
life ban's really tempting. 12-month ban is another option, I think.
Mm.
But to put him in that third league and say...
I think it's a suspended sentence.
Who's to say we're not going to get this list of bullshit excuses again, though?
But,
but
Sean,
if he does it again, that's it.
And Sean, what's the punishment for the other abandoned teams? Because there's a few.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the one named Savage Gabba, gone. Just not in the league next year. Were there a couple others?
No, they're the two.
I think the bottom four of the reserves league's looking precarious.
Although Savage Gabba.
I'm going to do some...
I do know that there's actually someone in the bottom four of the reserves who tried every week.
We're gonna look into this a little bit further. Obviously, we're still in an active finals campaign.
Yep.
Notice we're not the AFL. We don't make these decisions in the middle of a season.
I'll put this to Savage Gabba. Email the show. Same thing. I haven't actually been able to contact this team. Don't know how to do it. Don't know where to find them. Reach out to the show, as Stu did, and then we'll put it through TC Court. But as it stands, I like the idea of the third comp. Stu is in that comp. He's on probation.
Yeah.
A suspended sentence.
It's a suspended sentence.
On a good behaviour.
Now, if he fails again, not only he gives up his team.
Life ban.
Yep.
I have no arguments there.
Yep.
TC Court adjourned?
Adjourned.
Adjourned. And now that TC Court is adjourned, I think we should probably give a quick shout out to the finals results in the AFL fantasy competitions we're running, because it has been a big weekend. Some upsets and some maybe favorites are starting to appear. So there was tragedy starting in the Haggard's Footy Reserves competition as...
Only one of the hosts remained.
Because fifth played eighth, which was me versus Two Goods. Jack, who has been a vocal listener of the show, in fact, at the start of the season, tweeted us a voice note calling you out, Sean,
yep.
for... the battle between those teams where you steamrolled Two Goods by about 600 points,
yep.
which in a fantasy competition, if you are unfamiliar with fantasy, but keep listening to this point of the show, it's about a 15 goal win.
Yep. I'd say it's around the 150 point mark.
Yeah.
The wins that people notched up against Jake Stringer Stan That's a mythical 200-pointer.
Yeah.
Every week.
But Jack's team, Two Goods, went on a fucking tear, and
he's the Collingwood.
Can I raise a point, though, about Jack's Two Goods team? He's used the wrong fucking two.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the team is addressed to Adam Goods.
All right, mate. He's still in the finals race, and you aren't.
Yeah, but my team's at least spelled correctly.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I can hold my head up high.
He mightn't know the correct grammar, but fuck, he knows how to pick a team.
For all you know, his team is Two Goods.
Two Goods.
I retract my statement. Yep.
Two Goods loves Jack.
Play on.
Yeah. So I got rolled in the end by 40 points.
Yep.
Which eliminates me from the Haggard's Footy Reserves.
I rolled Tom comfortably.
It was looking dicey. You were worried. I was more worried, Sean.
10 goal win.
Worth noting that I was the highest score across the Haggard's Footy competitions.
That is big.
How many trades did you make, Sean?
Zero.
Yeah, fuck. So that means you had one injured player and Salem only scored 44.
Yep.
Fuck. You could have tickled the toes of a 250.
Imagine that.
They'd write books about you.
Give me the cup already.
And then, drug test kit lost to Simfajai. And let's check if Simfajai has, Simfajai has Jai Simkin in their team.
That checks
smart
out.
And went big. We've got Jonathan Patton, Snapchat beat Holmes Improvement. So that means I think third and fourth beat one and two.
Big.
That's correct.
Tight comp.
Jesus. And then obviously the two results we discussed. And then in the main league, the Haggard's Footy League, it's chaos. Madness. Chameleon SCT, a.k.a. Wayne Doucher, rolled Light and Tangy Crips. So Chameleons finished top of the ladder, have moved on to the prelim. Wilbo's Rats got rolled by Pride of the North.
Brandon.
Huge. He's the favorite.
We were looking at Brandon's team earlier in the weekend, Sean, and we were worried for him. A lot of injuries. And then he messaged
heaps
you
heaps of
said,
injuries.
Sean, I've got him.
He's done the math. And it worked. The math was strong.
Powerful.
Good education system in Canada.
And then Danyan's Devils, who have been floating around the top three all year.
Choked.
Bardic Inspiration rolled them, so 8th beat 5th in this competition too.
Joel's new dad.
Bardic, our man.
The man.
We saved his career.
And finally, Special K's Special Boys were too strong for Love and Tackles.
Love and Tackles looked like they were going to get blown off the park early on the weekend and then just got pipped, really.
Yeah.
Huge
good
results.
Good campaign by Love and Tackles.
Good campaign, yep. George.
See you in the Big Dog League next year as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And yeah, like there's a couple of people in the reserves that are, the door's already wide open for the
main
look, campaign.
I think the top four teams in the reserves, straight in, I reckon.
Walk-ups.
Yep.
Yep.
And yeah, same for the bottom four teams of the main comp. Maybe walk downs.
Yep, definitely.
Tom, notice.
Walk down to the third league, perhaps.
I mean, all comps, it's fine.
Yeah, that's the only thing saving you.
I know.
That's the fantasy update. So I've actually got this weekend off because I won in my bottom eight final series, but lost in my top eight, which means that I've got a bye week.
Finally rest.
Yeah, I can finally rest. Yeah.
Rest, sweet, fair, Doucher.
You'll still have the fantasy sweats though.
Oh yeah, big time. Cause I'll be trying to make money. Yeah. I'll be trying to juice it up.
And if you want to email us and ask, how can you juice it up? We can provide some bardic inspiration the way we have previously. You can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Tree.
I'm Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13.
How good's footy?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.